sooner or later we're going to have another spectacular attack. Both ISIL and Al-Qaeda didn't have a good hit in a long time. They need to either in the field or here in Europe need to do something to demonstrate their relevance.
Are there any indicators that something is afoot, or is this more of a hunch?
No, I mean, this cell here clearly shows, I mean, they've been preparing this for a long time. So they, for a long time, they're procuring explosive material. They made connections to international organized crime, hence this ability to sign up for a contract murder in the Balkans for $40,000 in return, right? So they very long prepared that. And as far as the prosecutor has said publicly now, they were planning spectacularly large attacks. On Ramstein Air Base, as you know, is the biggest U.S. air base outside the United States. Spandalen Air Base here near Berlin is a very famous one. It's part of the air bridge in 1949, right? So everyone in Germany knows where Spandalen is and what Spandalen is. So, I mean, they were trying to do something very spectacular in Germany. So that's an indicator for me that there is a need to conduct those attacks, because just killing some local Syrians is not going to cut it if you want to pretend that you're fighting the infidels on a global scale.
So considering that there's planning likely going on, and during this time of COVID-19, what are the major leaders of the big terror groups doing?
The major leaders are on both sides of the aisle, so Al-Qaeda and ISIL, are no longer, and that hasn't changed since the coronavirus started. There's no perceivable evidence that apart from the immediate area around where they are, so for ISIL in Syria and for Al-Qaeda in the Afghan-Pakistan border region, that they're involved in any kind of, you know, detailed operational planning. Their main reason of existence is to be the symbol that holds the network together. While the network works like a McDonald's franchise system, where each group in West Africa, the other one in East Africa, or the Arabian Peninsula in Southeast Asia, does pretty much whatever they can, inform the center that things are going on. So they have knowledge, but the local operational part, the decision to do an attack, when to do an attack, how to do an attack, is left up to the locals. Sri Lanka is so far the only case where I still maintain that this is impossible to have been done by a local group, you know, the Sri Lanka Easter bombings in 2019, yes. For the mere fact that all of the devices worked. It's impossible for any terror cell, and it never happened in Afghanistan. So even now, after 10 years, when the Afghan security forces seize suicide vests and IEDs, around 40 to 50% are non-functional. So that a local group having no experience in designing and building these devices by itself conducts more than a dozen devices, all of which work precisely as intended, is highly, highly unlikely. So it's highly unlikely. So I think there has to be some outside input, at least on the bomb making design. Otherwise, we would have seen more failure of those devices. Other than that, I've not yet seen a part or attack in the world where we could then clearly link back into the top leadership. Interestingly, the Tajiks that were arrested in Germany, both groups, talked to high-ranking individuals in Syria, and this is a very new aspect, it's never happened before, a high-ranking individual of ISIL in Afghanistan. So we have seen that there is a long history of Central Asians in Germany being connected to the Islamic movement of Uzbekistan and the Islamic Jihad Union, two groups that are affiliated with Al-Qaeda in northern Afghanistan, but that they got instructions or inspiration from some guy in the field to do attacks in Germany. That's something new.
Hans Jacob Schindler is the senior director at the Counter-Extremism Project. J.J. Green, WTOP News.